The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Two-time Super Bowl champ Booger McFarland big-timing us all season, just doing Mondays, things like that. It is good to see you, sir, and, of course, Stephen A. Smith. We are 5 days away. Gentlemen, you cool if we just dive right into it?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. 13 years in, Matthew Stafford wants to silence the naysayers, cement his legacy, and keep the Lombardi in the host city of Los Angeles. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow channeling his inner LeBron, Ohio. This is for you. Burrow looking to bring home the hardware to his home state and what would be the Bengals' first ever Super Bowl victory. Take a listen.
We have a really young team that doesn't really even understand, you know, the historical significance of what we're doing. We're just out there playing football and, you know, getting better while we're doing it.
Tell us how you really feel. After opening as 4-point favorites, the line is now up to 4.5 points in favor of the Rams. Cincinnati was 125-1 to win the Super Bowl entering the season, making them just the second team with preseason odds of 100-1 or longer to reach the Super Bowl in the last 40 seasons, the other being the St. Louis Rams in 99. So let's just say they have defied the odds thus far. Boog, I'll start with you. Are the Bengals being overlooked?
No, I think, you know, we fall in love sometimes with a Cinderella story. And if you look at the Bengals 2 years ago, they only won a couple of games and now they're in the Super Bowl. And I think everyone wants to have the swan song, the fairy tale ending to go from worst to first. No, they're not being overlooked. And I don't think this is going to be like this swan song or fairy tale ending. I think they're being looked at exactly how they should. They're a team with a really, really bad offensive line. They're a team that their defense is playing a little bit above their head, and their quarterback has been outstanding, and their skill position players have given them an opportunity to put up points and compete with anyone. Now, when you put all that together and you say, okay, how can they go out and how have they won football games? Their quarterback, Joe Burrow, has been outstanding. He's gone from being a Heisman Trophy winner at LSU, the first overall pick, to he's put himself in a position where he's a top five quarterback in football, and he's got that swag, Molly and Stephen A. He's got that it. When he has the ball, when he is in control, when he is on the field, he gives everybody on the team confidence. And everybody in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, thinks that they can win this game. But if you're thinking that this team is the favorite, or they should be the favorite, or somehow we're overlooking them because they're this juggernaut, they're a really, really good story. Their quarterback has played really, really well. But the fact that they're an underdog against a team that has the potential and the ceiling as the Rams, that's about where they should be.
I'm sorry. I think they're being overlooked, my brother. And I think that you're being far too kind to the Rams. And I don't think that you are calling out the cynics of the Cincinnati Bengals the way that you should. Booger McFarland, A-team, starter, champion, and all of that stuff. I would challenge you on that. And here's the reason why. Burrow's a bad brother, just like you said. When you that bad, when you that special, when you that gifted, we talking one game, bro. If you got doubts about the Cincinnati Bengals entering the season over the course of 17 games and what have you, I feel you on that. I have my doubts myself. But seeing what we've seen, understanding the vulnerabilities that the Los Angeles Rams have exhibited to us, combined with the fact that it's Burrow, it's Jamar Chase, it's Higgins, it's Mixon, and these boys. I mean, we talking 60 minutes, bro. We talking 60 minutes. And then I'm very, very shocked. I mean, considering the illustrious career that this man has had, we see him on Monday night.
Yeah.
You see that, you know, the man played in the NFL. You've been a part of the bright light, excuse me, literally and figuratively, in front of the camera and behind the scenes. Booger McFarland, you trying to tell me the Los Angeles Rams playing at SoFi Stadium, their home turf, a year after Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers handled their business on their home turf in Tampa. Now it's your turn at SoFi in L.A. And this ain't Tampa Bay, where some people live. No state income taxes. I'm all for that. We got that part. But outside of that, it ain't la-la. It ain't la-la. You don't see Magic Johnson in the suites at Tampa Bay. You ain't going to see the stars coming out from all over Hollywood and everything else. It's right there in Inglewood, my brother. And when you look at it from that perspective, anybody ever talked about how pressure breaks pipes? You got this situation where you're on your home turf.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford just won a playoff game for the first time in his 13-year career. This season, you got a whole bunch. Aaron Donald's already lost the Super Bowl. He ain't trying to lose, too. We look at the new Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay, boy wonder. You got him going on. You got the quarterback. You want all that pressure.
Yeah.
And what is Cincinnati playing with? Cincinnati's playing with house money. Cincinnati's on coming to LA. It's like, yo, we got nothing to lose. I got a quarterback who really is in his first full year. Last year he got hurt. This year he played. See, this is his first full season in the National Football League, and this brother's in the Super Bowl. And by the way, where did he go to school at? LSU. Where did you go to school at? LSU. For you to be sitting up here
talking about it, you already know it, baby.
You cats that kiss.
Exactly. I don't know what the hell is up. I mean, we must have an executive who's a tiger or something.
That's what it is.
No question. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, look, man, you got Joe Burrow coming up in there with Chase, with Higgins, with Mixon and the crew, a defense that has shown up throughout these playoffs. And even though they're playing over their head, damn it, these are the same playoffs. They're playing over the head. We know you could put up points against the Rams. Burrow won over Tennessee, even though Tennessee sacked them 9 times. I would sit up there and say, I do believe they're being overlooked. I do believe they're not being respected and appreciated enough. I don't know who the hell I'm picking as of yet. It might be the Rams. I ain't gonna front, but I gotta tell you, it's a hard damn choice to make because I'm not sleeping on Cincinnati by no means. These brothers are special, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, Booger.
You know, Stephen A., I tend to agree with you. They're special, but I'm going to take this right to your wheelhouse. This reminds me of, and I forget the year, maybe it was 2016, 17, when it was the Cavaliers with LeBron and Kyrie against the Warriors that had KD, they had Clay, they had Steph.
No.
That's what this reminds me of.
Joe
Burrow.
Yeah, that's 17. KD was a
okay. That's Joe Burrow from Ohio. Joe Burrow's a bad man. Joe Burrow can get it done, but the team on the other side, KD, Steph, Clay, they got too much firepower, man. The
blasphemy.
Rams. You look at the Rams.
Blasphemy.
They got Aaron Donald,
blasphemy.
Von Miller. No, it's not blasphemy.
It's not blasphemy.
It's
Are
the
you
real
comparing
deal.
The Golden
no,
State Warriors with KD to the Rams? Really? Really?
Star power. Odell Beckham Jr. Cooper Kupp. Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford. I'm comparing the Rams. I'm comparing them to a Hollywood team because they are top heavy. They got some of the best talent in football.
This is blasphemy.
And who are they going against? It's
blasphemy.
Joe Burrow coming from Ohio. It's Joe Burrow's a bad man, but he can't do it by himself, Stephen A. He's going to need some help. And unless them five offensive linemen can all of a sudden grow some heart for the Bengals,
right.
It's going to be a long day for Joe Burrow, my friend.
Boogerman Fallon, let me educate you since you came into my wheelhouse, okay? Let me educate you, my brother.
Yes, I did.
Listen to me. The Rams walked into the season after acquiring Matthew Stafford with the pieces that they had, even after acquiring Odell Beckham Jr., particularly once Robert Woods goes down, right? We still looked at them and we said, Tampa.
Yeah.
We said, Green Bay. The moment KD announced that he was going to the Bay to join Steph and Clay, the basketball world said, season's over. There was nothing to talk about. There was no suspense. That's why I was so upset at the moment, because I love competition.
Yeah.
And I was upset because I'm like, he's so great. He so dramatically shifted the balance of power by joining that team. Competition went out the window. LeBron James won the Eastern Conference Finals in Boston. And while he was being congratulated by the great Doris Burke, he was asked about facing Golden State and literally gave a concession speech on the court in TD Bank Garden in Boston. He said, oh, I don't want to think about that. I'm as happy at this moment in time. I don't feel like bringing that stress upon myself.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with all that.
Because everybody and their mother knew, KD with Steph and Klay, nobody was knocking that off. That wasn't the case for the Los Angeles Rams at any point this season. So your analogy is way off.
Wait, hold on. So, Booger, you're that confident?
First of all,
is it going to be Rams by a landslide?
I'm not picking a game just yet. I'm just telling Stephen A. what I think is going to happen. Stephen A., to your point, that team was a symbol before the season. You have to give the Rams credit. This team was a symbol throughout the season. So we have to give them time to gel. The addition of Von Miller, the addition of OBJ, that happened in the middle of the season. So you're right. We didn't say that the Rams.
Well, I think we're dealing with some technical difficulties. But I have something to say.
He'll be all right.
We'll be right back
Let me get his point.
Yeah.
This is where he's wrong again.
What?
Even when they acquired Odell Beckham Jr. and all the pieces, nobody was like, oh, they're the favorites. We were talking Green Bay and Tampa Bay.
What we said is they went all in.
Yeah, they went all in. But nobody was saying that they were this juggernaut of a team that clearly should be the favorites. We had Tampa and Green Bay as being teams ahead of them. That was never the case. The moment KD announced that I'm going to Golden State on July 4th, the moment that happened, everybody said, NBA season's over. NBA season's over. There's no competition.
Because
there's no competition. You can't beat them.
Before we move on, I have to say two things. A little disappointed in Booger because he was really talking that talk about the Rams and then he walked it back like, oh, I'm not making my pick yet.
Yes.
And as far as I want to apologize to Sarah Corso here at ESPN, she keeps asking for Super Bowl picks and I keep ignoring her because I'm with you. I'm not ready to pick yet.
No, Friday.
I need to wait
till
Friday.
That's what Friday's for.
I'm not ready to go there. This one's tough. Usually I have a good gut feeling and I don't on this one because, you know, my pick record is exceptional on the show. Dating all the way back to Skip Bayless.
I don't know about that. I have no recollection of that orange crush. But I'm just telling you.
Get the receipts,
I'm
everybody.
I'm not doing that. I'm wondering about the receipts. But either way, here's the bottom line. This is television. You know, Friday's the day.
Okay.
You make your predictions then.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? This is how you do television.
Okay.
You got to wait.
Okay, thank you for that cliffhanger. You know who else has given us a cliffhanger?
What?
Tom Brady, speaking of walking it back. So here's the deal, guys. Tom Brady, who officially retired last week after 7 rings, 22 seasons, was asked by Jim Gray if this is really it. And let's just say he left the door open. Listen for yourself.
I'm just going to take things as they come. You know, I think that's the best way to put it. And I don't think anything never, you know, you never say never. And you know, at the same time, I know that I feel very good about my decision. So I don't know how it feels 6 months from now. I think you have to be realistic that you never know what challenges there are going to be in life.
Stephen A.?
Yeah.
Your reaction to what you just heard
believe a damn word he's saying, but I'm not going to knock him for it. He's Tom freaking Brady, and he's earned the right to say what the hell he wants to say. I'm good with it. I'm not casting any aspersions on it. I'm a huge fan. And even more so that he has retired, I can now celebrate him even more because he richly, richly deserves it to conduct himself with the class and the leadership that he has conducted himself with throughout these years, to throw for over 84,000 passing yards, a 3-to-1 touchdown to turnover, the interception ratio. What he has done in his career, what he has done for the game of football, he has earned the right to say whatever the hell he wants, even though I think he's full of it with this particular statement. And I don't say that as a negative. I just think that you're Tom Brady. You got the TB12. You got a whole bunch of other stuff, business ventures that you've engaged. Well, you got a whole bunch of business ventures that you might be engaging in. So when you throw that out there, it's suspenseful. Will he come back? Won't he come back? You're constantly talking about him in some regard. That keeps him relevant for the purposes of business outside of football.
Yeah.
That works. It's a beautiful strategy. I think he should be applauded for it. I'm just saying he's full of it. He ain't coming back. You're 44.
I'm far less skeptical.
You're 44 going on 45 years of age. You decide to walk away from the game. Your wife has been clamoring for you to walk away from the game. You talked about your wife and children and how important they are to you, which we all know is absolutely true. And you're saying, this is what I need to do for them, not just myself. It's time for somebody else to take the helm. You're going to announce that and then all of a sudden turn around and say, well, you know what, sweetheart, I changed my mind. Those concussions I've been coming home with that you talked about since 2017, well, guess what? I got the itch. I want to revisit it. After waiting all of these years to retire when you wanted me to retire years ago, and I finally said I'm going to retire, and now I'm going to renege, I'm sorry. Happy wife, happy life. That brother got to go home. And she's far more important than the rest of us, and she's far more important at this particular juncture in his life than his football career, which he just walked away from. I don't believe a damn word he's saying, but I applaud his right to say it.
I'm with you on all of that, and I'll just say this as we get J.J. Redick out here to talk some hoops. I think it's brilliant, and it shows his wisdom. Never say never, because so many times in life now, there's been times I've had to eat my words. I'd say, oh, that never happened. So he's leaving the door open, and he reserves the right to change his mind. There's a lot of things in my mature age thought would happen in life, and now I say that. Never say never.
Hold
I
on.
Stay open.
All right, because I got a question for you.
Sure.
I got a question for you before we bring J.J. in
here.
I got a question for you. See, I got 4 older sisters.
Okay, I've got
right.
2.
I got the 4 older sisters in the great. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What woman do you know can sit there with a man? We can ask JJ this. This man's a happily married man. We ask him this question. What woman do you know that you can literally look her in the face, say no, 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 when she's clamoring for you to retire because she's worried about your health? And she's worried about the life that y'all have together after football, right? So you finally, after waiting years, you grant her wish. And then you turn around and say, I changed my mind. What woman do you know that's going to let you get away with that?
Stephen,
it's not going to happen.
You haven't been in the house full time a long time. She might have him back full time. So you know what? You can be at the house a little bit.
But that's a good point.
I'm telling you. There's an adjustment. We all live through a pandemic working from home. It's an adjustment when you're used to being on the grind.
The pandemic took place, and on top of it all, in the off season, you have plenty of time to be there every day, and she still wanted him there every day. I'm sorry. He knows what she wants.
Okay.
JJ.
I can't speak to Tom Brady's marriage. I can say that I just went through this having retired because I wanted to be home.
Yeah.
And look, there's been multiple times where my wife has said, you need to get out of the house. You're actually around too much right
now. Exactly.
I agree with you there.
Sometimes it's be careful what you wish for.
But she's telling you to go back to work. Be on the road.
Balance.
Risk,
she probably wants
balance. If you're playing football, risk concussions.
No.
There you go.
That's a different
deal.
But it's very wise to say in life, never say never. Stephen A., you never know what could happen in your future. Good to have you.
Good to
and
see
we're going to have
up,
you a lot
What's
now
see,
as we're at the halfway point. So let's talk some hoops, fellas. So here's the deal. The trade deadline 2 days away. Obviously, there has been a lot of talk about the Sixers and Nets making a deal happen. Some say James Harden is disgruntled in his current situation, and he obviously goes way back with Sixers GM Daryl Morey. Plus, we know Ben Simmons doesn't want to be in Philly, but Brooklyn head coach Steve Nash says that's not the case, confident that James Harden is where he wants to be. Take a listen.
The trade deadline coming up Thursday. Have you had any, I guess, any further conversations with him about where you guys stand or even where his mindset is?
No, I've talked to James. He wants to be here. You know, he wants to be here long term as well. So I don't think anything's changed other than noise from the outside. James wants to be here. We're building with James, and we think we have the best chance to win with James. So, you know, I don't think anything's changed on the inside, in our locker room, in our communication. It's just all the noise from the outside.
JJ, you're up first. Should the Nets and Sixers make that Harden-Simmons swap right now?
I actually love this deal for both teams.
Really?
Yeah. Look, I don't know what the ancillary pieces would be if this deal were to happen. Joe Harris, Tyrese Maxey, Seth Curry. I don't know who that would be. If we just look at these two players, James Harden with Joel Embiid, other than Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid has never had a full-time pick-and-roll operator like James Harden. Individual shot creation, the Sixers missed that in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Nets, I've always said this, Ben Simmons in the playoffs, his best position is as a five, switching multiple positions on defense, playmaking on offense as a roller in the short roll, a la Giannis. So for me, one of the reasons this Sixers team has been so clunky in the playoffs is because you can't play Ben at his best position in the playoffs because Joel Embiid is the five and he's the best player.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the timing, I get to a degree why Daryl Morey and the Sixers want to wait until the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid has an injury history. We know that. he's in his prime. He's having another MVP season. I know, Stephen A., you feel like he's the MVP right now. Mm-hmm. You can't waste this season. The East is wide open. And I will say this.
That's a great point.
I like this trade for both teams. I'll reiterate that. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Sixers, I can't justify not trading Ben for something at the deadline. Even if you get a couple good pieces, not great pieces like a great piece like James, you have a chance this year with Joel Embiid to win the East and compete for a championship. I think there's got to be more of a sense of urgency to deal Ben by the deadline if I'm them.
That's strong.
I completely disagree with you, number one.
Great.
And number two, and more importantly, let me tell you something right now. You're the Philadelphia 76ers. I'll tell you when you had a chance with championship. When you were there, averaging 18 a game, you had Jimmy Butler there. They should have never let y'all go. They should have let y'all come back. They should have made sure to keep you and Jimmy Butler. Then I believe y'all would have won the championship. I really, really do. Y'all or at least been in the finals. That's my personal opinion. Having said all of that, here's why I respectfully disagree with you. I appreciate the breakdown. Very astute on your part. I don't give a damn. I'm not trading Ben Simmons to Brooklyn. Not to Brooklyn. You're talking about Harden. Mad love for Harden. Mad respect for him. Done great, great things in the NBA over the last decade or so. The brother's older. He's bigger. He's a touch slower, likely because of his hamstring injuries. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the Harden that you're getting, even though he's averaging 22, 10, and 8, even though he's an extraordinary playmaker, and you're right about him in the pick-and-roll situations, the reality of the situation is this ain't the James Harden that was in Houston, at least not the one we've seen thus far in Brooklyn, because of injury. Because of injury, age, attrition, the fact that you dropped the ball by not working out because you wanted out of Houston, and that's come back to bite you because the shape that you was once in, that you were once in, that is no longer the case. He still hasn't recovered fully health-wise. That's number one. Number two, let's understand Ben Simmons. Kyrie Irving, for all my cynicism, about him because you got to watch the bus. You got to sit in the tunnel and watch the bus, make sure he's on the bus. I mean, that's really what it is about Kyrie. You never know when he's going to show up. But when that brother shows up, he is nothing short of spectacular. KD, the best in the world when healthy, as far as I'm concerned. With Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons, you don't have to worry about shooting. I'm on the record. Golden State Warriors don't want him. They got their team. But the two teams you don't want to trade Ben Simmons to is Brooklyn and Golden State. Because I believe that Ben Simmons, whatever issues he's having, doesn't matter. They can win it all. My issue with him going from Philly to Brooklyn is that they're not only within the same conference, they're within the same division. So even if they don't get there, Jay, I'm saying you're an impediment, a roadblock to the Sixers. That's my issue. You might not win the championship. Something might go wrong, whatever. But you're an impediment to that team. I don't believe the Sixers, even with Joel Embiid, are beating Ben Simmons, KD, and Kyrie. And if I'm Daryl Morey and I moved Ben Simmons and that team is standing in my way, to me, that's when failure kicks in when you talk about a trade. A team could be successful, but they're not the ones in your way when you move the guy. But if you move a guy and he's serving as a direct impediment to your success, you lost because you gave him away to an enemy that could compromise your success. And that's why I say not Brooklyn.
Right. So I get what you're saying. Let's look at this in terms of they wait. We're not going to trade into Brooklyn. Okay. There's no deals that materialize. Okay. And then they wait to the summer. We all know that Daryl Morey has basically waited this long to see what happens with Harden, to see what happens with Damian Lillard.
Correct.
Speaking directly about the Harden situation, to get that deal done, they can't just go out and sign James Harden outright. It would have to be some sort of sign and trade.
Right.
Let's say there's multiple teams involved. You're probably going to want to offload Tobias's contract. Mm-hmm. To do that, that's going to require you probably trading Tyrese Maxey. Mm-hmm. It's going to require a good young player.
Yes.
So to go out and get James in the summer, you will have to break down your roster. And to me, this runs into the same scenario that the Lakers are going through and the Nets are going through. You have a chance right now, not essentially a swap for swap, but you can build a great roster on both sides, both these teams right now by doing this trade. If you wait till the summer, there's going to be so many pieces that move. All of a sudden, Daryl Morey gets James Harden in a sign and trade. There's three teams involved. They've got six rotation guys. Same deal as the Nets. Lakers don't even have six rotation guys. You know, it's the same issue that these teams are running into.
Here's what you're missing. First of all, everything that you say makes sense. We know this if you wait until this summer. I'm speaking strictly from a basketball perspective. I'm about to blow you away with what I'm about to say. Are we sure we want James Harden? Are we sure? Again, older, bigger, slower, in all likelihood because of injury. I'm not questioning his heart. I'm not questioning his game. I'm not questioning when he's 100% healthy and in shape. But he's been compromised. Do you really, really, really know what you're getting moving forward? To me, that's a problem.
Okay.
That's a problem.
I want to speak to that because I agree with you. There is a concern there with the hamstring. And okay. He has not looked right since that injury. The first injury prior to the playoffs, and obviously he re-injured in the playoffs. Richard Jefferson said this 2 weeks ago. I thought this was brilliant. When you talk about real contenders, when you talk about winning a championship, everybody's got to be moving in the same direction.
Yeah,
and when we talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, the Golden moving State Warriors, the Phoenix Suns, everybody's moving the same direction. This Nets team, it's very obvious everyone's not moving in the same direction. When you talk about the Sixers, clearly everyone's not moving in the same direction. One guy won't even show up to play.
That's right.
So to me, I think if Harden goes somewhere else, maybe he's moving in the same direction. There's clearly something wrong. You can watch a Nets game and see the body language.
Right.
Something's
but
not right.
But we don't
it's
disagree.
It's not just
we
the physical part.
That's right.
It's the emotional and the mental part.
We don't disagree.
It's the motivation.
We don't disagree with that at all. And I can vouch. Listen, I know for a fact James Harden would love to play for Daryl Morey. And Daryl Morey would love to have James Harden. We're talking about health. We're talking about attrition. We're talking about those kind of things when it comes to James Harden. In Ben Simmons' case, he wants to be anywhere but Philly. He wants to be anywhere but Philly. I'm just saying, if I move him within that conference, we keep talking about Ben Simmons. We're not talking about Kyrie and KD. The Milwaukee Bucks are the champions. They would be home if Kyrie Irving hadn't hurt his ankle. We saw the Brooklyn Nets up 49 on them. 49! When Kyrie and KD were on the court without Harden, healthy, and he got hurt. So I'm just saying, to add Ben Simmons to that, Philadelphia might rue the day ahead.
I just want to say one thing to that point.
Go ahead.
And this is just a general take on basketball that I have.
Sure. Yeah.
In every playoff run, you can look at an injury, a sickness, a bad foul call, a bad break on the court. We lost the year, my year with the Sixers. Kawhi Leonard beat us on a shot that bounced on the rim seven times. You just look at last year's playoff. Chris Paul missed the first, I think, two games of the Western Conference Finals with COVID. Giannis was out of game.
Yep.
Those guys ended up getting to the finals.
They all have.
Things happen in every single playoff run. It's Doc Rivers after the Warriors won in 15.
Right.
A little bit of luck is involved.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're lucky that you won. A little bit of luck. Things have to go your way.
I'm just saying, I'm not discrediting the Milwaukee Bucks. They're worthy champions. They deserve all the credit of the world. But we're talking basketball, and we are allowed as fans, not as former players who are intimately involved in it and look at things that way. We are allowed as fans to sit up there and go like this. Damn, if Kyrie hadn't got hurt, look at what this would have happened.
Because you had a brilliant point in the sense of urgency. They need to do something because they could potentially win the East in terms of Philly. But say they make that swap, though, then isn't it kind of null and void? Because then Brooklyn's better, too, so they knock them out. Then if that happens, which team are you betting on, Philly or Brooklyn?
Well, look, there's no one on Brooklyn currently anyways that can guard Joel Embiid in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's very few guys that can guard him one-on-one, period. My point is that I think it's a net win for both teams. And who would I bet on?
Yeah.
A lot of it depends on Kyrie Irving's availability. You know, if he's available full time, I think the Nets are a better team right now than they are with Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Sixers are a better team with Harden than they are right now. So I think it's a net win for both teams. I'd love to see that series. I would love to see that series. And to the you kind of proved my point about doing it now versus waiting for the offseason. James Harden turns 33. In August.
No.
You got to do it now.
No. My point is there's too many question marks about James Harden for me to do that deal by sending Ben Simmons to Brooklyn because I know it makes Brooklyn stronger. I don't know about James Harden right now. So I'm not proving your point. I'm proving mine.
Okay.
Thank you.
They just told me we got to go to breaks.
Yeah, you trying to be slick, audience think that you speak. You know, you got me. You don't. Okay? He doesn't. Let's go.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Here's the deal, y'all. Going into the season, the Nets and Lakers were the favorites to win the title. And now as we approach the All-Star break, both teams dealing with quite a bit of adversity and not where they want to be. The Lakers ninth in the West, and their big three have only played 17 games together this season with a home game tonight versus the champion Bucks. They are 10-7 in those matchups. Obviously, injuries have been an issue. Same deal for Brooklyn. Seventh in the East and the loser in eight straight games with the home game tonight versus Boston. And their big three has played together 16 times in the past two seasons, including the playoffs, plus dealing with the part-time Kyrie situation. But here's the silver lining. There is still time and folks can get healthy. You're gonna love this question, JJ. Who's under more pressure to win another title? Would you put that on LeBron James or Kevin Durant?
I don't think you're gonna like my answer here.
Really?
I don't think there's pressure on either guy. Look, I think both of these players, when we talk about legacies, I think both of these guys' legacies are secured. Kevin Durant is one of the greatest all-time scorers. He's been to four finals, two championships, two finals MVPs, tore his Achilles in 2019. This level of greatness from him at age 33 after an Achilles tear, this is a bonus. LeBron James. 10 finals, 8 straight, leaves the East, wins a championship in his second year in L.A. One of the two or three greatest players of all time. I don't think they feel any pressure to win another championship. Certainly want to win another championship. I talked to Chris Paul last week. We talked about championships validating a career.
Yeah.
Both these guys, their careers are validated. They don't need another one to validate anything.
Oh, God. There's so much to teach. Former athletes and present athletes. Let me try again. I try. I really try. Y'all just don't get it. KD and LeBron are champions. We know this. When they are inducted into the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame is with ease, okay? We will celebrate their greatness and what they accomplished in their careers. That has nothing to do with now. Tomorrow, next month, next season, while you're playing, there's a story that has to be told. And the amazing part of it, this is why J.J. Redick would sit in the locker room sometimes or sit on the sidelines or whatever and had this perpetual frown on his face looking like me, for crying out loud. Just pissed off at the world, you know, because he's annoyed. Why? Because his whole thing is, this is what it is. No. The story has to be told. And like I tell Molly all the time, I'm a soap opera fan. You know, I'm Brit.
Mm-hmm. Tell the truth. You're a soap opera actor. You're not a
Brit,
fan.
Recurring role in General Hospital. Sonny Corinthos is the star of General Hospital. Maurice Bernard is named. My friend, Victor Newman on Young and the Restless. His name is Eric Braden. You know, they've been shot. They've been pushed downstairs. They've been in a coma. They've been stabbed. We all know they're going to live, J.J. Redick. They're the stars of the show. It don't stop the storylines from percolating.
Mm-hmm.
The same is applicable to LeBron, KD. The reality of the situation is that if you're KD, I would say he's under more pressure than LeBron because LeBron has more rings. And the dysfunction in L.A., has reeked through the headlines so much that nobody expects anything from them because we watch the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors, and we like, damn it, if you are healthy, you still might not win because they're better teams than you. even though LeBron deserves a lot of accountability because Rob Pelinka, Mr. Pleaser, wanted to make sure that he capitulated to what LeBron wanted, and LeBron James picked this damn roster to some degree anyway. KD, though, is different. Why? Because when we look at KD, we look at Kyrie. We look at Brooklyn. You talked about not just their play. You talked about their body language. Who's the leader? Who's the face of the franchise? Who's the guy that's supposed to be able to stand up and say, yo, bro, we trying to win the chip. We going for this. Those kind of things that take place, it's a story that has to be told.
Molly.
That's the way it
time
goes.
Time out. Speaking of stories, maybe I've been around him too long. JJ, the stakes get a little higher when you become, no one's going to be able to read my note, a super team. And then I have more words for you here. LeBron, AD, Russ, KD, Kyrie, Harden. No one can read my handwriting. A big three. Big threes on both teams. You know this. We know how great they are. We know their legacies. Super teams, big threes, star power, stakes are higher, JJ.
Look, I get it, and I love that people in 2022 act like super teams haven't existed for the entirety of the NBA.
So here we should go, another
of,
debate.
No, he's no right should some of no, Larry right Bird's titles be discredited because they put that team together? No. Rod Auerbach made an amazing trade to put that team together.
That.
Hold on, no.
Go ahead.
This is, we 80s, those were super teams. Yeah. Jordan's Bulls, those were super teams. Yeah. Shaq and Kobe, that's a super team.
And the stakes were high.
The stakes are always high. There's always going to be pressure on great players. The question was, who has more pressure? Right. The answer is neither.
You said neither.
The answer is neither.
You said neither.
I'll tell you why. Because as an athlete, we want to go out and kill, and we want to win.
Okay.
That's inherent to the game. Any great athlete, that is inherent to the game. There is no one that can put more pressure on Kevin or LeBron or me or Chris Paul than themselves. So all the pressure is coming from this.
Yeah, hold on.
All the pressure is coming from this.
Time out.
The answer is neither.
Time out.
The answer is neither.
So in other words,
you're creating a narrative and a story, Stephen A. We all do that. This is what we do.
Time out. No, well, you could say that. I mean, I guess if people want to give me, I mean, clearly Kevin Durant and them gave me credit for that over this weekend. Y'all want to give me credit for that, so be it. I'll take it. It don't bother me. This is what I do. I'm in the media. All I'm doing, though,
you're doing
is,
your job.
No.
You're doing your job.
But the job is not to create a narrative. As the late great John Thompson once said about me, this is what I love about Stephen A. You want to know how he feels? Just ask him.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
You ask me a question, I'm giving you an answer. If people want to follow that narrative, that's their damn business. It's not created. But what I'm saying to you is this: we're talking basketball, and when I'm talking basketball, I'm looking at a situation where there's an expectation that comes with the team that is assembled. Do we expect the Sacramento Kings to do anything? How about the Orlando Magic? How about the Detroit Pistons?
No.
You know damn well we don't compare. You don't expect anything from them. But when you are a team like that has been assembled in Brooklyn, you damn right there are expectations. And if you fall short of those expectations, you're going to be looked at, no matter who. If you're the Los Angeles Lakers, why are we looking at them? The only thing that has saved LeBron is because we're seeing Russell Westbrook disintegrate before our very eyes. Now, me personally, I still believe in Russell Westbrook. I just think he needs to stop shooting damn jump shots. Mm-hmm. You're not a shooter. Attack the basket. You're a freak athlete. Dominate. Take the ball to the hole. Get to the free throw line and shoot better than 66.8%. That's just me. But that has saved LeBron and AD to a lesser degree from taking even more heat because they are responsible for this roster that was assembled. That's what comes with it, bro. And people like you who are saying what you're saying, it's like you want to act as if it's only the pressure that they bring on themselves. There's no pressure whatsoever.
No. What I'm saying is when you are a great player, the pressure is inherent. The external pressure and the internal pressure. Nothing's ever going to change that. There was pressure on Kevin Durant.
But the situation matters.
What if you're on a great team?
They've already done it.
No.
They've already done it, Steven.
I'm not saying that. But that's going to be chronicled later on. While you're here now, if it was all about the fact that LeBron's got four rings, why is he constantly maligned? Why are people constantly questioning him? Year to year, the man's been to 10 NBA finals. He's won four chips. But every year, he's under a microscope. Why? Because of expectations. Kevin Durant's a two-time champion, two-time NBA finals MVP. With greatness comes great responsibility. And part of that responsibility is expectations being thrown in your face and you answering the call as to whether or not you're going to live up to it. That comes with it. That's what elevates and illuminates greatness. Who responds to those pressures? That's why LeBron James, right, in some people's eyes, is number two all time.
We're up against
because with
it.
That pressure, you the man went to 10 word? NBA finals.
I would love to ask LeBron and Kevin this very question.
What, they wouldn't admit it anyway? Y'all they, lie all the time.
They would agree.
You lie all
me.
The time.
We don't lie.
Okay. Athletes don't lie. Athletes don't downplay. I should say lie. You're right. I should say lie. Downplay.
Right. Don't,
they don't
worry.
Downplay.
There'll be plenty of time to revisit this. Do you want these notes to help you out for future segments, or are you good?
I got a beef. You know what? I want JJ here more. Because some stuff
he's
that he says,
a lot.
And
NBA
he's getting
season.
Off the hook because we
I mean,
run out of time.
It's the NBA season. You know what I mean?
Because
when the
run out of time. I want JJ more. I want JJ more.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. To the NFL, where all of the head coaching vacancies are just about wrapped up and filled. Yesterday, the Saints informed their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, that he would become their head coach. Allen was previously a head coach for the Raiders from 2012 to 2014, then to Houston, where the hiring of Lovie Smith is official. Smith was the Texans' associate head coach and defensive coordinator this past season. He joins Mike McDaniels, Dolphins, Robert Saleh, Jets, Mike Tomlin, Steelers, Ron Rivera, Commanders as the NFL's only minority head coaches. One of the finalists for that Texans job, Brian Flores, who, as you know, is suing the NFL and three teams over allegations of racial discrimination. His lawyers released this statement after the hiring. We would be remiss not to mention that Mr. Flores was one of three finalists for the Texans head coach position. And after a great interview and mutual interest, it is obvious that the only reason Mr. Flores was not selected was his decision to stand up against racial inequality across the NFL. Strong accusation there. Stephen A., your reaction to all of this and those hirings?
Well, listen, Dennis Allen has been under Sean Payton for a while, and he was always considered the guy that was going to be the next head coach for the New Orleans Saints unless he got a job somewhere else. And it's hard to dismiss that, and it's hard to, speak negatively about that. Lovie Smith, I'm happy he's getting a second chance, even though, you know, he's coached for 2 years in Tampa. He coached in Chicago, so it's really a third chance. It would have been great to see somebody else get that opportunity, but I'm certainly not upset that he's gotten an opportunity yet again to prove himself. In the end, what I really want to focus on is the fact that a group of civil rights leaders, call for replacing the Rooney Rule when they met Monday with Commissioner Roger Goodell. What we have to remember and what people have to pay attention to is that there's inequality that is being exercised in the National Football League in the year 2022. You know, on so many occasions as a society, we look at things and we say, aren't we getting better? Isn't it different than what it used to be in a very positive way? Regardless of the trials and tribulations that we experience as a nation, there's a lot of credence to that argument in a lot of different ways, not when it comes to the NFL. And the fact that the NFL is the number one sport in North America, making gobs and gobs of money, with 30 white owners, not a single black owner. And on top of it all, you have owners literally ignoring a rule that they okayed implementation of in 2003. And 19 years later, you are clearly taking a step backward and they don't seem to give a damn. America needs to understand what the owners are saying is, we really don't care what you think. We're making money. We're going to continue to make money because y'all ain't going nowhere. So y'all can make all the noise y'all want because we're going to still live fat and happy. And that's why I don't mind the fact that civil rights leaders have gotten involved, because it's an issue of inequality that needs to be addressed. And the league has tried their best to rectify it. But clearly, the strong arm that they have ain't strong enough to influence the owners they work for. And so to me, this is the first step. And as far as I'm concerned, if it doesn't change, I wouldn't be opposed to government intervention to bring attention to the level of inequality that NFL owners are exercising.
Yeah, because not only was it not working,
when it comes to black
coaches, it was actually regressing.
Yes.
And I just want to mention quickly, there's one vacancy left. That would be, we think Kevin O'Connell will be hired by the Vikings. Obviously, he's coaching in the Super Bowl. And we'll ask Justin Jefferson, who will be with us in just a bit, about his potential new head coach.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.